God's Standard for Interpersonal Relationships. Sounds like a complicated thing. Interpersonal, between persons, and relationship. It's all the relationships we have. And God's standard for them all is love. God has given us, in the Scripture, by my count, 7, the perfect number, 7 calls to obedience. So in Matthew 5, 43-44, you have heard that it's been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. So the idea here is to learn God kind of love, the agape love, that is not, I find you attractive, I find you worthy of my attention, and so I want to make you mine. To want something for your benefit is the world's kind of love. But to do the best for someone to meet their needs is God's kind of love. We'll get back to the loving your enemies here toward the end. So develop benevolence to all. This is not a New Testament innovation. Notice with me from Moses. Let's go to Deuteronomy 15. And if thy brother, an Hebrew man or an Hebrew woman, be sold unto thee and serve thee 6 years, then in the 7th year thou shalt let him go free from thee. And when thou sendest him out free from thee, thou shalt not let him go away empty. That is, you'll pack his bags with some money and goods and so on. Thou shalt furnish him liberally out of thy flock. Yeah, I guess that's bigger than the backpack, isn't it? And out of thy floor, where the grain is kept, out of thy winepress, of that wherein the Lord thy God hath blessed thee, thou shalt give unto him. Here is then the loving of the one that, business-wise, you would say, I own him, I bought him, or he sold himself to me for a lump sum of money. Person gets into a place where he needs money, and he says, I'll work for you for this amount of money, and I'll work for 7 years. Well, God says you can hire him on for that, but the 7th year you let him go. And you have been setting aside part of the work that he's been doing, part of the blessing that God has given to you, and send that with him. You get him established. We find Isaiah gives us this. Isaiah 58:7. Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and that thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house? When thou seest the naked, that thou cover him, and that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh. Don't answer the phone, that person, that nephew, that somebody always asking for something. He says, don't do that. Then it comes from Christ, Matthew 5:42. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not away. In fact, he said, when a person borrows from me, when you lend, he says, outwardly you're lending, inwardly you're giving it to them. If they can't pay it back, you say, oh, it's all right. Luke 3:11, he answereth and said unto them, he that hath 2 coats, let him impart to him that hath none. And him that hath meat, let him do likewise. Share your food. Luke 12:33, sell that you have and give alms, provide yourselves bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, neither moth corrupteth. There are ways of gathering your goods that attract thieves. You have an excess of wealth, and the thief tries to find a way to take it. He says, I can offer you a way to accumulate rewards that no thief can steal. He says, the thief doesn't approach. The moth doesn't corrupt. the moth attacks the clothing that you're not wearing. It's put away so you have clothes more than you need, and then the moth attacks it. But he says, I can give you wealth where no moth can eat that. And other things you have that just get old. And he said, but the where what I give you never will grow old. The Apostle Paul, Acts 20, verse 35. I have showed you all things, how that so laboring he ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of our Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. I have to admit, receiving is pretty blessed. We appreciate that at birthdays and Christmas and all that. But even better is to give. Romans 12:13, distributing to the necessity of saints, their needs, given to hospitality. Hospitality here referring especially to taking someone in that needs taken care of. Galatians 6:10, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are the household of faith. So especially fellow Christians, but where we have the opportunity, where we have the ability to give, we can meet the needs of everyone or anyone. 1 Timothy 6:18, that they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, to share. Hebrews 13:16, but to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. See, God understands it's a sacrifice. This is giving something you could use for yourself. But he says, you give it to those who are in need. The second principle of the seven is to develop sincere or true love. There is a false love. I've noticed this with a lot of people who are into charities. And they have these great banquets. Somebody furnishes all the stuff. And it's a big to-do, you know. And their name gets put in the paper or whatever it is today. And they are honored by this great work of sacrifice that they're doing. But that's not true love. True love is not about them getting their name written up. It is about others. Romans 12:9. Let love be without dissimulation. Dissimulation is particularly imitating an action without actually doing it. It's a magician's type of thing, where, look, I'm putting it over here. I'm keeping it over here. See? And now I make it disappear. Dissimulation. So unfeigned, undisguised, sincere. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave, be glued to that which is good. 1 Thessalonians 3:12. And the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do toward you. He came to the Thessalonians as a stranger. They were strangers to him, but he was moved by love to share with them the gospel. 1 Peter 1:22, seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. Really a deep, fervent, again, this word from the root to boil, a true heat of the heart and a pure heart. So it's sincere, it's true, it's not put on. The third standard for interpersonal relationships, show love to the stranger. The stranger is not necessarily just, anyway, it's somebody that's not a relative, somebody that you don't know very well. This would be like keeping a missionary, taking somebody in that has a Christian testimony, Christian witness. So show love to that stranger. He goes clear back, Exodus 22:21. Thou shalt neither vex a stranger, make him mad on purpose, do bad things to him, nor oppress him, for ye were strangers in the land of Egypt. How would you like them to treat you, you see? Leviticus 19:34, But the stranger that dwelleth with you shall be unto you as one born among you. And thou shalt love him as thyself. For ye were strangers in the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. I am the boss. So do it this way. Deuteronomy 10:19. Love ye therefore the stranger, for you are strangers in the land of Egypt. Deuteronomy 27:19. Cursed be he that perverteth the judgment of the stranger, fatherless and widow. All the people shall say, Amen. This is where they can't help themselves. They're not attached. The stranger is not attached by kinship to the judge and so on. So you can pull one over on him, see. You can say, I'm sorry, we have a rule in this place where we can't help you with this. He says, don't do that. And then the fatherless and the widow, these are people that don't have someone to provide for them. Jeremiah 7:3. If ye oppress not the stranger, or the fatherless, or the widow, and shed not innocent blood in this place, neither walk after other gods to your hurt, God will condemn you for that. In the New Testament, Matthew 25:35. For I was an hungered, this is Christ talking about at the tribulation period, those who took care of the saved Jews during that time. He says, I was an hungered, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, you gave me drink. I was a stranger, you took me in. And they are all modest, saying, but Lord, we didn't know it was you. We didn't think it was you. And he says, but as you have done it unto these, the least of mine, you've done it unto me. Hebrews 13:2. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers. House them, is the idea, entertain. For thereby some have entertained angels unaware. And that's an interesting thing. Abraham did all the running around, get the food set, got the bread cooking and or baking, whatever you do with bread, and had one of the servants go take care of one of the lambs, goats, something. And so there was meat and bread fresh for these people. And he didn't know that they were Jesus Christ and two angels with him. Now the fourth principle says not only the stranger, but as we've read in some of these, the poor. These are the people that actually are poor. They don't have covering. They don't have food. Food and raiment. Food and covering. And you show love to them. Exodus 23:11. But the seventh year thou shalt let it rest and lie still. This is the ground that you're growing in. And the poor of thy people may eat, and what they leave the beast of the field shall eat. In like manner thou shalt deal with thy vineyard and with thy olive yard. Olive yard, the group of trees provide all that. So he says, 1 year out of seven, you don't take anything from it. And this is the year that the poor can come and pick for themselves and deal with it like that. Leviticus 25:25, if thy brother be waxen poor, waxes to grow, has become poor, and has sold away some of his possession, and if any of his kin come to redeem it, then shall he redeem that which his brother sold. This was talking about the tribal divisions, and if one of your relatives that owns part of this land given to God, to that tribe, if he sold it to somebody else of another tribe, and you buy that from that person, you find out that it came from this brother who got poor, and you give it to him. Deuteronomy 15:7. If there be among you a poor man of one of thy brethren within any of thy gates in thy land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not harden thine heart, nor shut thine hand from the poor brother. I say, well, I didn't make him poor, I'm not going to help him though. He says, no, love is going to help out. Deuteronomy 24:12. And if the man be poor, thou shalt not sleep with his pledge. This is where you have given him, he has given you some money to rent your mule or something like this. And you say, well, it's a little late now, I'll give him his pledge back some other day. But he says, if this guy is poor, you don't sleep that night. You get that to him. Yes, ma'am. Yes. Mm-hmm. So you owe a man something. Just be careful how you deal with that, because God is watching, and you make sure that you pay it in a timely manner. Job 30:25. Did I not weep? Job is explaining his benevolence. Did I not weep for him that was in trouble? Was not my soul grieved for the poor? Psalm 41:1, blessed is he that considereth the poor. The Lord will deliver him in time of trouble. Proverbs 14:21, he that despiseth his neighbor sinneth. This is just wrong. He that hath mercy on the poor, happy is he. God gives you reason to be happy. Proverbs 19:17, he that hath pity upon the poor actually is lending unto the Lord, and that which he hath given will he repay him again. You give this to a person, and God says, I am taking this as a loan that you're giving, and I will be the one to repay. Proverbs 28:27, he that giveth unto the poor shall not lack, meaning because you have given part of what you have, doesn't mean you'll suffer for it. God will watch out for that. Shall not lack. He that hideth his eyes shall have many a curse. I don't see that guy needing anything, but I know he does. In the New Testament, Matthew 19:21, Jesus said unto him, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor, that thou mayest have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. He doesn't give this command to everybody to sell everything you have. That would be rather an odd thing. Everybody has to take care of everybody else. But rather, he says, to this one man who loved his treasure and had much, he said, you're going to have to give that up to follow me. And then Galatians 2:10, only that they would that we should remember the poor, the same which I also was forward to do. This was part of the rules for saved Gentiles to remember the poor Jews. And you don't let the Gentile Jew thing say, I don't deal with Jews. So, showing love to the poor. Now, in this day, being poor has become a standard life choice. This is where there was work to be had. My wife and I go to the crew car wash, and they're advertising $15 an hour to take the credit card of the people coming in, direct them into that little tire track thing, and sounds like a pretty good deal to me. And so the thing is, there are places where you don't have to be physically demanding to earn a pretty good living. All right, then number 5, show love to the weak. Weakness is the idea of not having power, of being powerless, not having the ability to do what you need to do. Romans 15:1, then we that are strong, have ability, ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. It's not about you. It's about God and others. Galatians 6:2, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Colossians 3:12, put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels, we would say heart today, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. So let's remember this as we deal with those who can't do for themselves. Hebrews 13:3, remember them that are in bonds, this is people that are jailed, as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity, as being yourselves also in the body. You know how it is with the body. If one part of your body hurts, your back, for instance, then the whole body suffers. You have a bad headache, the whole body suffers, you see. And he says, in this Christian body when there are those who are hurting, those who are weak and unable. You ache with them and try to help. And then James 1:27. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this. He says there are religions that are defiled. It is a fake religion. But the pure religion, the undefiled before God and the Father, is this, to visit with help the fatherless and the widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Not about you having enough money to do whatever you want. It's about you helping others. The sixth principle of the seven is to show love to your neighbor. Leviticus 19:18. Look how far back it goes. Thou shalt not avenge nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people. This would be Jew to Jew, you see. But thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am the Lord. Mark 12:31. Christ says the second greatest important command of all is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. Romans 13:10. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. And he reminds us that all of this is actually God showing love to us. We show that same love to others. Romans 15:1-2. Then we that are strong have ability, ought to bear the infirmities of the weak, those who don't have the ability, and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification, to lead him in the things of God, to teach him those things, to build him up. Galatians 5:14, for all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And then James 2:8, if ye fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, you do well. You find that one thing, you're doing well. Now the seventh one is to show love to your enemy. We get hooked on this one. How do we do this? Because we know how it works. As a kid, somebody's your bully and you try to get him back. I saw a little clip of a movie that I don't think I've ever seen. But the boy's walking along, the bigger guys, bully guys are threatening him, you know, and he's just carrying kind of a sack. And I think it was a lunch bag type of thing, but it wasn't paper. And so the bully comes up to him, and he just swings that and hits him in the head, and he goes flying. And the next guy hits him, and he goes flying. And he looks around, they're all laying down, and he reaches in, he takes the brick out of his bag and throws it over the side and walks on. We know how this works, you know, you get back at them, you handle them. You knock them out. God says, that's not for us. That's not the way we think. So Matthew 5:43-44, you have heard that it has been said, love their neighbor, hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, pray for them that are despitefully use you and persecute you. These are actual steps of action. He says, love your enemy, and to do this, love your enemies, bless them that curse you. Do you find someone cursing you, saying bad things about you, to you, to others, perhaps? What do you do? You say good things to them and about them. You have to search, maybe. You have to find it. But you actually attack that, the cursing that they do, with the blessing that you do, bless to say good things. Then he says, do good to them that hate you. Here is this sullen hatred and no special reason, you know, or maybe there was a reason in their thinking. So in this case, it's not speaking good, it's doing good. You find a way to help them. You find a way to meet a need that you can meet. And then pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. You may have no power to speak to these people. they have authority and are persecuting you. You have no power to help them, but you can pray for them. And so these are the actual steps of action. So we, speaking to God, find out how to do this, and perhaps be looking for the time when you can step in and help this person, show that you have a love to them. Let's go back to Exodus 23, 4 and 5. If thou meet thine enemy's ox, or his ass, his donkey, going astray, you say, aha, it's mine now. He's your enemy. But no, thou shalt surely bring it back to him again. What is he doing? Doing good to the enemy, you see. If thou see the donkey of him that hateth thee lying under his burden, this is where you put so much on him he can't get up, he just collapses, and wouldst forbear to help him, you wish you just leave the donkey there to die. Leave him there to be crippled or whatever. But he says you can't do that. Thou shalt surely help with him. You're going to take some of that off, get him up, and put some of it on your own donkey and finish the trip. Psalm 7:4. If thou hast rewarded evil unto him that was at peace with me, yea, I have delivered him that without cause is mine enemy. So here is, I have delivered him. This is you doing good to the one that was without a cause, your enemy. Proverbs 25:21. If thine enemy be hungry, give him bread to eat. If he be thirsty, give him water to drink. For thou shalt heap coals of fire upon his head, and the Lord shall reward thee. You say, aha, I get to put fire on his head. But that's not really the end purpose. The thing is, you convict him of his evil deeds when you show godly deeds. In Luke 6:27-28, but I say unto you which hear, love your enemies, do good to them which hate you, bless them that curse you, and pray for them which despitefully use you. Pretty much what he said in Matthew. Luke 6:34-35. And if ye lend to them of whom ye hope to receive, what thank have you? So you lend something, and you're very sure that you're going to get it back. But, he says, for sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. He says, you don't have to be mighty special to lend what you're going to get it back. But love ye your enemies and do good and lend physically, hoping for nothing again internally. In your mind, you have said, you can use this. In your words, you say that, and in your mind, you're saying, and if I never see it again, God bless you. And your reward shall be great, because it's not of this world. You shall be the children of the highest, for he is kind to the unthankful and to the evil. How many people does he give sunshine to? You see, the blessings of this earth. Romans 12:14, bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. We want to get a little cursing in there with the blessing. He says, no, just choose the blessing. Romans 12:20-21. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, you shall heap coals of fire on his head. This is that thing where it convicts him for what he's done to you. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. What does the world say? Fight fire with fire. You put the evil back on him. God says, no, fight fire with water. Put out the fire, you see. 1 Corinthians 4:12 and 13. And labor, working with our own hands, being reviled, we bless. Being persecuted, we suffer it. Being defamed, the opposite of built up in fame, we entreat. We are made as the filth of the world and are of the offscouring of all things unto this day. Paul says, as apostles, we're doing the best for the world that we can. And we get a lot of hatred for it. 1 Peter 2:23, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. Christ was like this. When he suffered, he threatened not. And think about it, Christ could have threatened. but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. I'll let God take care of it, he says. And in 1 Peter 3:9, not rendering evil for evil. That's not the way we work. Or railing for railing. Railing is when you go off on somebody. You just call them names and so on. But contrariwise, blessing, knowing that you are thereunto called, that you should inherit a blessing. God has called you to this kind of life. Now let me take you into the other part of that. You have been taught, he said, to love your friends and hate your enemies. Joseph B. Lightfoot, I often quote him, early man dealing with the Greek meanings. He says this, here those poisonous canons, rules, might be produced, whereby they are trained, they, the Jews, were trained up in eternal hatred against the Gentiles and against Israelites themselves, who do not, in every respect, walk with them in the same traditions and rites. Let this one example be instead of very many, which are to be met with everywhere. The heretical Israelites, that is, they of Israel, that worship idols, or who transgress to provoke God, also Epicurean Israelites, that is, Israelites who deny the law and the prophets, are by precept to be slain. Gather them up and kill them. If any can slay them, if you can do that, and that openly. But if not openly, you may compass their death secretly and by subtlety. You see? Kill them publicly to make it an announcement that they were wicked. And if not, slip them some poison. Lightfoot goes on. A little later, another quote, but as to the Gentiles, with whom we have no war, and likewise to the shepherds of smaller cattle, and others of that sort, they do not so plot their death, but it is forbidden them to deliver them from death if they are in danger of it. He says, you see them in peril, you turn your head. You don't help. For instance, a Jew sees one of them fallen into the sea. Let him by no means lift him out thence, for it is written, thou shalt not rise up against the blood of thy neighbor, but this is not thy neighbor. See? Here is the exclusion clause. And further, an Israelite who alone sees another Israelite transgressing and admonisheth him, if he repents not, he is bound to hate him. Cut him off from any good communication. John Calvin, I close with him. He said, we learn from these words of Christ how far believers ought to be removed from every kind of revenge. Think about when last time you thought of revenge. Probably on the road someplace. For they are not only forbidden to ask it from God, but are commanded to banish and efface it from their minds so completely as to bless their enemies rather than curse. In the meantime, they do not fail to commit their cause to God till he take vengeance on the reprobate, for they desire, as far as lies in them, that the wicked should return to a sound mind and that they may not perish, and thus they endeavor to promote their salvation. And there is still this consolation by which all their distresses are soothed. They entertain no doubt that God will be the avenger of obstinate wickedness. It's not our job to punish, you see. It is God's job, and he knows how to do it best. So as to make it manifest, to make it open, that those who are unjustly attacked are the objects of his care. It is very difficult indeed, and altogether contrary to the disposition of the flesh, to render good for evil. We don't come into this world feeling that way. But our vices and weaknesses ought not to be pleaded as an apology. We ought simply to inquire what is demanded by the law of charity, of love, God's love. For if we rely on the heavenly power of the Spirit, we shall encounter successfully all that is opposed to it, to godly love, in our feelings. So turn away the counsel of men to hate your enemy. How can you show the love of God to them? And that's the key. You may not be able to bring yourself to love them from your heart, but you will be able to show them God's love, saying, I wanted to do this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, who loves you. And you perform blessings, acts of kindness, and helpfulness in the name of the Lord. Let's bow for prayer. Father, you've given us a challenge to live our entire life dealing with people that seem to be trying to get things from us. But Father, there are many times when they really have a need, and it may not be what they're asking for. It may not be a money need. It might be a learning need. It might be a counseling need. So we ask that you might help us. True love is wanting to do the best. And so we want to investigate those who are saying they're in need. And to the extent they are, we pledge ourselves to help in what we can. I ask, Father, that you would stir us then to learn what it means in practice, for these things actually work, learning to counter what is done to us with the opposite. We are overcoming evil with good, and good always defeats evil. So we thank you for this lesson. We thank you for opening our hearts and minds to this. What a church member, what a believer ought to do. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.